Hello, folks. You're listening to the Mad Dog, Matt Wilson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a very busy morning show for you this morning with the schools on the mountaintop on two-hour delays. Hunter Tannersville and Wyndham Ashland Jewett are both on two-hour delays this morning as the remnants of the storm are cleaned away as a new storm approaches tomorrow. We'll have updates on both today on the WGXC Morning Show, plus we'll hear the WGXC Congressional Report tracking the votes and positions of the representatives from the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts in the Hudson Valley. Plus, we're going to hear a brand new song from Randy Rainbow, and we've got other special music for you and more national headlines from the Public News Service, the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and it all starts after the local news and after Jason Martin from Troy is finished with this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org with your local news and headlines this morning. There are now 7 people dead from another California mass shooter, and there have now been 3 mass shootings in the past 8 days in the United States. 4 members of the far-right Oath Keepers group were convicted January 23rd of seditious conspiracy for their roles in the January 6, 2021 attempted coup and attack on the U.S. Capitol in the second major trial associated with the attacks that day. One of the men arrested was Robert Munita, the former owner of Newburgh, New York tattoo shop. State Attorney General Letitia James nominated Albany Law School Associate Professor Ava Ayers to serve on the state's new ethics panel. Quote, "I am confident Ava will serve our state proudly in this new role and be a leader in efforts to restore the public's trust," unquote, James said. The town of Kinderhook has passed a law forbidding hunting in the town park. And the Times Union reports some snow totals. Byrne in Albany County got 8 inches. Greenville in Greene County received 7.5 inches, and 6.5 fell in Ankrumdale. On Tuesday, January 24th, there are 2 delays locally. The Hunter Tannersville schools are on a 2-hour delay, and the Wyndham Ashland Jewett schools are on a 2-hour delay. The schools up on the mountaintop in Greene County on a 2-hour delay on Tuesday, January 24th. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC local news for Tuesday, January 24th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Brendan J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that the estate of the late Jason Jones, the man who died more than a year ago after he was set on fire when a police officer fired a taser at him, has taken legal action against the village of Catskill. Justin Jones filed a federal lawsuit on January 20th against the village of Catskill, as well as police officers Mark Nazi, who fired the taser, Daniel Goldpaul, and Nicholas Craig, alleging Jason's civil rights were violated. Nazi, Goldpaul, and Craig were all accused of using excessive force, failing to follow their training, and running away rather than coming to Jones's aid as he burned in the lobby of the Village police station in October 2021. Goldpaul and Craig are also accused of failing to stop Nazi from discharging his taser in a way believed to be in violation of their training. Quote, Jason was burned to death solely through unnecessary and excessive force by Catskill police in their own police station, unquote, said Kevin A. Lubrand, an attorney representing the Jones family. The state attorney general's office has been investigating the incident for more than a year, but has not yet issued a formal report or filed any charges in the matter. Jason Jones suffered burns to almost 30% of his body, as well as critical wounds to his lungs. He was transported to Albany Medical Center Hospital following the incident, but later transferred to a burn unit at Upstate University Hospital in Syracuse, where he remained in a coma and on a ventilator until succumbing to his injuries 47 days later. Jones had not been charged with a crime when he walked into the police station on October 30th, but he, quote, exhibited signs of emotional distress, unquote, according to the lawsuit. He was speaking with the officers in the lobby of the station for about 8 minutes before he was shot with a taser. Jones had doused himself with an alcohol-based hand sanitizer moments before the incident and after emptying his pockets and stripping off his shirt and shoes. The electrodes fired from Nazi's taser struck his torso and caused him to catch fire. Three officers were captured on a police station video camera running away from Jones after he burst into flames. The encounter between the police officers and Jones, a one-time celebrated athlete at Catskill High School, began when Village police responded to a disturbance at the Avalon Lounge located about 400 feet from the police department. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Patricia Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that Ulster County District Attorney David Clegg announced January 23rd he will not seek a second term as the county's top prosecutor. The one-time Democrat said in a press release, quote, I have decided to pass the torch. This has been a very difficult decision. Those who know me know that I am extremely competitive and never back down from a fight. Nevertheless, I must balance what is in the best interests of my family, including making them my number one priority while we deal with a serious health issue affecting a family member, unquote. Clegg won a closely contested election in 2019 against Republican Michael J. Kavanaugh to become the first Democrat to hold the office in more than a century. Almost immediately, the office was hit with a wave of resignations and missteps that resulted in dozens of felony charges against individuals dismissed from the DA's office for failure to prosecute within the time frame required by law. Clegg concedes the missteps, but still, he said, the office has had many successes, such as obtaining the first criminally negligent homicide conviction as well as the first manslaughter conviction for the sale of fentanyl and heroin, the expansion of the Intimate Partner Violence Intervention Program, the diversification of the office to better reflect the community, and the creation of a grand jury bureau to ensure immediate oversight of cases going before the grand jury. Clegg said he plans to focus his attention on his family and vocation as an ordained minister within the United Methodist Church. Kavanaugh recently announced he will make a second bid for the office. Democrat Jared Blades, a former Ulster County ADA who now works in the county sheriff's office, announced last week he will seek the Democratic line for the office. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Tony Dabrowski reports for the Berkshire Eagle that 3 years after opening a customer call center in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, online retailer Wayfair has now decided to close it. The company said January 23rd it will be closing its facility in the Clock Tower Business Center on South Church Street when its lease expires in July. The call center opened in October 2019. The 40 employees currently working for Wayfair in Pittsfield will join the company's virtual customer service team, said company spokesperson Susan Fraschetti. On January 20th, Wayfair announced its plans to eliminate 1,750 jobs company-wide, roughly 10% of its total workforce. Wayfair is a Boston-based e-commerce company that sells furniture and home goods online. Formerly known as CSN Stores, it was founded in 2002. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, January 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 24 degrees up in Tannersville to 33 most other places, including Red Hook, Kinderhook, and Voorheesville. Regional average soil temperature is 35 degrees. Snow reports are in 2 inches for Catskill, 2.2 in Kingston, 6.1 in Taconic, and 9 inches in Greenville. Today, snow takes a break. We get mostly cloudy skies and a high of 39 at 3 p.m. Overnight, a steady drop in temperature lands at 23 degrees. Then, tomorrow, around 9 a.m., snow starts and will last all day. About 3 inches of accumulation is expected. Temperatures will rise steadily all day long, hitting 33 degrees by dark and 37 degrees overnight. By 9 p.m., down on the ground, that snow should be turning to rain. Up in the hills, though, you're going to stay below freezing and tack on an extra 4 inches of snow. Thursday, a little bit of rain finishes by the afternoon, and we get a high of 41. 20 degrees overnight takes us into a dry but freezing Friday with a high of only 32. Sunset today will be at 4:44 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:11 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%, and we have a pretty darn close approach from a near-Earth object on Thursday. Itty-bitty object 2023 BU is expected to fly by at about 3,500 kilometers above South America. It poses no threat to the ground, but it will be lower than geosynchronous satellites. Solar wind speed is currently 448 kilometers per second at 7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 144. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
In the WGXC community calendar, there's all kinds of local community events and concerts like American singer-songwriter Angel Olsen and Nashville indie folk singer-songwriter Aaron Ray perform February 8th at the Bearsville Center in Woodstock. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org and add your event there in the community calendar.
Wow! What a graduation!
I'll say!
But with college behind us, we'll need careers. And good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging. I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in
nuclear power.
Are we on?
Back in 5.
All right, let's go.
And 3, 2...
We are back, and I'm joined now by this fucking guy. Senator Cruz, gun violence has become an epidemic in this country, yet your party continues to offer little more than thoughts and...
Look, all of us have had people who've lost loved ones, and then the first thing you do when someone has lost a loved one is you reach out and say, hey, I'm lifting you up in prayer. I'm praying for you, your family.
Yeah, that's cute. But with all due respect, prayers don't stop these horrific tragedies. And should you really be sending out any more thoughts? I mean, you barely have any coming in to begin with. Because you're dumb.
And the modern day left is more and more extreme. They have this bizarre antipathy to God and to prayers.
Well, it seems the modern day right is more interested in firearms than in children's safety, veterans, health care, you know, fashion and moisturizing, obviously.
But the Democrats' proposal every time is always the same, which is take away guns.
Damn, it's scary just to check the news on your phone when we're living in a war zone. What, again? Jeez, not again, please. How can there be such nonchalance from Republicans? Here they come again with their favorite response. Thoughts and prayers. Tweet your corny last respects. Screw the laws and background checks. Who needs common sense? Sing a psalm like Pence. Thoughts and prayers, that would be appropriate if they all were running Hallmark stores. Thoughts and prayers won't save our lives, so go shove your
make be with you.
Yeah. This whole country's in the What would Jesus post on Twitter? Every day looks like a scene from Private Ryan. What they're selling, I ain't buying.
Here's the situation. It's the gun-free school zones. Those are the biggest problems.
That ain't it, girl.
Cut the
girl. Seems this playbook's the GOP's open fire and cue the choir. And Lindsay's back on his knees for thoughts and prayers. Who needs rational reform? Guess this nightmare's just the norm. While they're taking shots, just think happy thoughts. Hawk your wares when you'd rather please your base. And you're up the NRA's.
Prayers.
Do not save lives.
Try gun control.
I'm not going to apologize for thoughts or prayers.
Legislation. Honey, what a waste. Gross inaction can gain you traction if you just copy and paste more thoughts and prayers. When the problem's getting worse, quote your Bible verse. So compassion is so in fashion, cause no one cares. It's a dog and pony show. Keep your holy rosary on the shelf. Thoughts and prayers do not save lives. Thoughts and prayers. Take your thoughts and prayers and go on.
God's peace be with you.
Because you're dumb.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
If we delay this, if we have short-term extensions of the national debt, we run the very risk of a recession in this economy.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says tax cuts for America's wealthy were enacted under the Trump administration, and now the GOP needs to pay for them. The Treasury Department initiated so-called extraordinary measures last week after the House refused to act on raising the debt limit. Economists say the U.S. could lose 6 million jobs and nearly $12 trillion in household wealth if lawmakers can't reach a deal.
As President Trump put it, the vice president and enough members of Congress simply needed to summon the courage to act. To help them find that courage, the president called for backup.
January 6 committee member Representative Stephanie Murphy of Florida described the tweet sent by former President Donald Trump, which rallied far-right extremists to the Capitol. Now, four members of the Oath Keepers group have been convicted of seditious conspiracy for plotting to forcefully keep Trump in power. An Arkansas man photographed sitting at former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's desk was also convicted of 8 federal crimes.
Even though the people I represent pay the highest federal taxes per capita in the United States, they don't have equal rights with everyone in the United States.
For more than 3 decades, the District of Columbia's non-voting delegate to Congress, Eleanor Holmes Norton, has championed efforts to grant statehood to the nation's capital. On Monday, Senator Tom Carper of Delaware announced he'll try again. The bill most recently passed the House in 2021, but has not yet passed the Senate.
It took over 187 minutes to make that simple statement. Something wrong with that.
Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi describes how long it took Donald Trump to tell rioters at the Capitol to go home and said the former president engaged in conspiracy to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Lawmakers want to make sure anyone connected to January 6th can never hold public office. Lawmakers in states like Virginia, Connecticut, and New York have proposed legislation to prevent insurrectionists from holding positions of public trust, such as police officers, judges, and even teachers. Representative Maxwell Frost of Florida says the most recent mass shooting in Monterey Park, California, was preventable.
Every time someone dies because of gun violence, it is a policy failure.
Another victim of the shooting has died, putting the death toll at 11. President Biden ordered flags be at half-staff at federal sites through sunset Thursday. A new Siena poll released Monday shows 59% of registered voters in New York want Representative George Santos of Long Island to resign. Santos has been assigned to committees in the House, despite having lied about his education, career, and ethnic makeup. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're back in Maricopa County, Arizona, where officials are still sorting out the ballot printing fiasco from November, and the county recorder is proposing state rule changes to end late-arriving mail-in ballots. Arizona has a widely used vote-by-mail option, in addition to in-person voting on Election Day. Postal delays of 2020 ballots, as well as recent extremist intimidation at drop box locations, resulted in a record 290,000 voters dropping off mail-in ballots at the polls on Election Day. The late influx of ballots requires time to open, verify, and tabulate. States with a high percentage of mail-in ballots, like Arizona, typically don't have election results for a week or more, but a chorus of mostly conservative lawmakers want results on election night. Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer proposes several changes to facilitate election night results. Instead of 5 p.m. election night, he would move the deadline for hand-delivered mail-in ballots to the Friday before Election Day and allow counting them early. Arizona also has emergency in-person voting prior to Election Day, and Richer recommends expanding those days and allowing those votes to be tabulated on site. Richer hopes his recommendations will result in proposed legislation. Democracy advocates argue that voters should be allowed to do what is convenient to them, not to the county. We have a link to the proposal and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not since Gwyneth Paltrow's 2002 Academy Awards dress has a decision-making process so grueling produced a result as god-awful as my next guest, barely elected Speaker of the House, Kevin McFuckhead. Kevin? How's it going?
Well, I feel the first week has been very productive. First, we've got a very good rules package that empowers
all
members.
Okay, let's cut the shit. You've been handing out important committee assignments to election deniers, QAnon conspiracy theorists, pathological liars, and third-rate drag queens. Tell us, how else do you plan to drag this country down to the fiery pits of hell?
We should start every day. How can we be more efficient? How can we deliver a more effective to the American public? And how can we do it in a more secure way that we don't spend as much?
Please wrap it up.
Why would we sit back and be so arrogant to say, no, there's no waste in government?
Speaking of no waste, Donald Trump continues to influence much of your party. What is your response to those who say you're nothing more than a boot-licking, hypocritical, orange-nosed little puppet?
Well, first, let's just take a pause. Let's sit down together. Let's look at the places that we can change our behavior.
Welcome, monsieur. Sit yourself down and watch the wackest show in town. What an ordeal, some GOP, more like the Real Housewives of D.C. Thought his goose was cooked.
A speaker has not been elected.
Thought his dreams were tossed. This slimy, climby man boy who damn near lost.
Let's just take a pause. I don't believe that's the case because...
Speaker of the House, cunning little chap, cover is conservative and full of c***. Thirsty as a fish, quick to compromise, only took the motherfucker 15 tries. No one at the office likes him, and he's never dressed too nice. His suits come off the rack at Marshall's and his gavel's Fisher Price.
A baby gavel.
Speaker of the House, doling out the bribes. Also much he's giving Susan Lucci vibes. Pissing off the left, paying off the right. Pushing an agenda of revenge and spite. Never will he lead this circus. Poor old power hungry whore. Think they hated Nancy, can't see why they wouldn't hate you more.
They hate you more.
Look at how they spat.
Look at how they spat.
Listen to them
jeer.
I'll leave my MAGA hat if it lasts one year.
He will last a bloody figure of the House, choosing every slob. Bloody after blood to finally get that job. Losing every bet, pushing all his luck. Shamelessly indebted to his favorite truck. Tracking any hopes of grandeur. Suckering the working class. Hurling on concessions, questions, will it bite him in the ass?
I will never give up.
Chaos in the House, imbecilic scum. Boebert doesn't even know what state she's from. Marjorie's a mess, Matt's a ticking bomb.
Santos says he's Ariana Grande's mom.
Everybody's lost their marbles.
Everybody's
and they're gonna buy the nuts. By the nuts.
Never was a Uyghur says he's status seeker, speaker like the sorry little pot.
Speaker of the House, powering their parliament.
How long did he take to win?
winning
15 times.
Lowering the bar, creeping up the ranks. Winning margins tighter than a pair of spanks. What divine humiliation.
What divine humiliation.
What a wretched little louse.
What a louse in my house.
Everybody lift a cheek.
Girl, I give you one more week.
Everybody lift a cheek to the speaker of the house.
I will never give up.
Shut up.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st Congressional Districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
Melissa Mano reports in the Times Union that Representative Paul Tonko wants to contrast the previous Congress, run by his party, and the new Congress, now run by the Republicans. The Amsterdam Democrat said to reporters at his Albany office on July 14th, and I quote, "A powerful statement was made by the 117th Congress, and now, following that with the opening of the 118th, which to me seemed to surround itself with chaos and confusion and crisis, the stark contrast between the two sessions to date is very powerful," end quote. Tonko boasted that when his party ran things, they passed the American Rescue Plan, the CHIPS and the Science Act, and the Inflation Reduction Act. And Tonko bemoaned that Republicans are seating and putting on committees George Santos, who was elected on Long Island despite a mountain of lies. Tonko said, and I quote, "The trust between the representative and the representative's constituents is powerful and essential, and once that trust is eroded, I don't think you can serve in an effective capacity," end quote. So far, Republicans in the House of Representatives have passed a number of bills with no chance to pass in the Senate, still held by Democrats, or to be signed by President Joe Biden. Tonko, though, says the Democrats are focused on legislation that probably won't get anywhere in the Republican-controlled House. Tonko said House Democrats are working on a clean energy innovation economy, driving down the cost of health care, and making certain that, and I quote, "the path forward is one of progress for the American public and for the American business community," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
The Daily Freeman reports U.S. Representative Mark Molinaro has been chosen to sit on the House Committee on Agriculture and the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure for the 118th Congress. The Red Hook Republican said the assignments will allow him to work on issues important to residents of the 19th Congressional District, including the next farm bill, as well as the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Quote, "I am excited to get to work," unquote, he said. Spokesperson for U.S. Representative Pat Ryan said in a statement that although Democrats are still awaiting formal committee assignments, Ryan hopes to remain a member of the House Committee on Armed Services. He has also requested a seat on the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, which has jurisdiction over aviation, maritime transportation, highways, bridges, mass transit, and railroads, as well as aspects of clean water management, wastewater management, and flooding damage reduction. The committee also has broad oversight of various federal agencies, including the Department of Transportation, Amtrak, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the Army Corps of Engineers. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Job Herbert at Syracuse.com reports how Representative Elise Stefanik is being tied closer and closer to Representative George Santos, the Long Island Republican who lied about just about everything in his election campaign. Santos is being investigated for many issues, with a $700,000 loan he reportedly gave to his campaign the leading mystery. Stefanik endorsed Santos on August 11th and has not addressed the allegations. The New York Times reported that associates of Stefanik were aware of Santos's lies when she endorsed him in the 2022 election. On January 5th, Democrat Representative Daniel Goldman and Richard Torres wrote a letter to the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, GOP Conference Chair Stefanik, and Republican fundraiser Daniel Constant, asking them to, and I quote, "proactively and forthrightly," end quote, cooperate with an investigation into Santos. Stefanik's 21st Congressional District now includes Rensselaer County. Read the full story at Syracuse.com. Patricia R. Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that freshman U.S. Representative Pat Ryan said that despite a recent coup attempt and a sharp partisan divide in the House of Representatives, he is optimistic that lawmakers can pass legislation. Ryan said to the more than 200 business leaders who gathered January 18th for the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce breakfast meeting, and I quote, "If we don't stay optimistic, if we don't stay optimistic in the face of all these challenges, then we've given up," end quote. In the last Congress under Democratic control, the Invest and Protect Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, the CHIPS and Science Act, and the Inflation Reduction Act all passed. Ryan participated in the final weeks of that Congress, representing the 19th Congressional District, but this year is in the 18th Congressional District. And now the Republicans run the chamber. Ryan said, and I quote, "If folks come there with a broader sense of being American, being someone who believes in the promise and potential of our country and coming to actually accomplish some mission greater than their personal ambition, if we all come with the mindset of patriotism as a way to govern and bring us come together, I do think we can do it," end quote. So far, though, the House of Representatives has been a divisive body. Ryan said about the long process to choose a Speaker of the House, and I quote, "It was extremely disappointing to see a small group of extreme ideologues on either side of the political spectrum take hostage an institution that needs to work," end quote. He added, and I quote, "I try to be optimistic. That was really disappointing to me, but I hope we can get our act together," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
I heard about your love. So you're alone today. Inside a peace of mind. No water running. Water run and dream. I know why.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When wildfires burn in the Pacific Northwest, smoke can drift into the Seattle area and linger there.
In the Puget Sound, we're kind of in a mountainous region with Puget Sound kind of carving right between the Olympics and the Cascades, which makes a perfect zone for wildfire smoke to collect and stagnate.
That's Addison Houston of Seattle and King County's Public Health Department. He says that when the smoky air accumulates, it can be dangerous, especially for people with pre-existing conditions.
With wildfire smoke, really it's the small particles that are suspended in the air that impact people's breathing, the respiratory, cardiovascular systems.
So Houston encourages people to protect their health by filtering their indoor air.
So using things like portable HEPA air filtration units.
To help make sure low-income residents can do so, his agency has distributed free kits that include a box fan and other materials people can use to build their own air filters. And it's partnered with local organizations to make sure people have information about the dangers of wildfire smoke and low-cost options for air filtration to help them stay safe as climate change makes wildfires more extreme. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Tuesday, January 24th. And the Mobile in Cairo has the lowest price of fossil fuels at $3.35 a gallon, according to the Gas Buddy website, to start off our renewable weather forecast. The air quality forecast is at 36. That is in the low range. And the UV index is a 2, which is also in the low range, but kind of high for winter months. The water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is 37.83 degrees Fahrenheit. On average, the last 10 years, on January 24th, the temperature has been about 37.33 degrees. So we're about a half a degree warmer than usual, or warmer for the last 10 years. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Tuesday with a high of 34 and a west wind 13 to 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tonight should be mostly cloudy with a low around 20 and a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then Wednesday the snow begins mainly after 2 p.m. and it could be heavy at times. There will be a high of 31 and a southeast wind 9 to 14 miles per hour. There's an 80% chance of precipitation and 2 to 4 inches is predicted on Wednesday. And Wednesday night, there'll be some more snow, but it will eventually turn to rain. The temperature is the key there. There'll be a low around 29 and a southeast wind, 12 to 17 miles per hour, decreasing over the evening, but winds could gust as high as 30 miles per hour. 2 to 4 more inches of snow is possible on Wednesday night. Thursday showers are likely as the snow turns to rain and melts away, mainly before 7 a.m., cloudy skies after that, a high of 40 and a breezy day, 8 to 13 miles per hour winds increasing to 17 to 22 miles per hour in the afternoon with gusts as high as 32 miles per hour, and a low around 16 on Thursday night. You're listening to the WGXC Renewable Weather at WGXC.org, your solar-powered community radio station.
Now to our extended conversation with Hugh Johnson. Hey there, Hugh.
Hey, how you doing, Blaze?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Yourself?
Good. We finally got a real snowstorm in January. Didn't think it was going to happen, but yeah, we got it today.
Yes, we did, and the snow just keeps on coming.
Well, actually stopped now, but we're going to get more. We'll talk about that later, a couple days from now. We'll get another storm.
Oh, I thought we were supposed to be getting a little bit more you know, through Monday into Tuesday here?
Just flurries. I don't think we'll get any more accumulations until Wednesday midday.
Okay, good deal. So things should be good for folks to go to the food pantry or the Catholic Charities food donation thing in Lansingburg. So that's good to hear.
Good.
Now, you said something very interesting in a pre-show email about the liquid ratio in the snow. Tell us about that.
Okay. Climatologically, we're climatologically at our coldest point of winter. We're supposed to be anyways. And at that point, when snow falls, we're generally getting a 13-to-1 ratio. What that means is if you take 13 inches of snow and melt it completely down, you get an inch of liquid. And that's what our normal liquid ratio was. Well, this snow was very different. At my house, I had more like a 6 or 7-to-1 liquid ratio. So for instance, I had 6.8 inches of snow, and I melted down to 0.93 inches of liquid. So that's a wet snow. That's a really, really wet snow. So anything under 10-to-1 ratio is getting wet.
So basically the snow to water ratio is another way of saying, hey, it's really heavy snow.
Absolutely.
And be careful shoveling.
Very, very. You got it.
I got it indeed today, the 8 inches or whatever in Albany. We had lots of cloudy gray days, but not much snow until Sunday night. Without getting into the forecast, what's been going on in the past few weeks?
Well, we've been in this southwest flow, the jet stream. If you take the jet stream, it's gone from like Baja, California, up through New England, say, and we've been sort of sitting on this what we call a baroclinic zone, where it's been much warmer to the south and fairly cold, close to the normal cold out in the west and upper Great Lakes. And we're kind of in this conduit of where we had one storm after another. We had a lot of rain and we had slop. And now today we got basically a snowstorm, one storm after another. And because of where we're at, we're not getting good clearing behind any particular storm. We're not getting a big surge of high pressure and cold air coming in. So the clouds just linger. And that's exactly what's going to happen this week. We're not going to see a whole lot of sun this week. I won't get into the storm, but unfortunately, it's not looking good for sunshine this week and possibly even to the weekend. We might get a few breaks here and there tomorrow and maybe Thursday, but don't count on it.
So moving from weather back to climate, last week we talked, you wanted to discuss carbon dioxide emissions and what's the impact of those on our weather, and how do you think we're making progress on reducing carbon emissions?
Okay, very good. Again, review, CO2 is the main reason why we're having climate change. We've almost doubled the amount of CO2 we put in the atmosphere from the pre-industrial age, starting back in the early 1900s to now. And that's the cause of our global warming, because CO2 holds heat. And also the CO2 lasts a long time in the atmosphere. Once you get it up there, it's hard to get rid of it. So that's the dilemma. Now, we've talked about all this. We've had a lot of talk and positive talk about greener energy, about reducing CO2 emissions. But I'm going to cut to the chase. It's not happening. It is not happening. If you look at the charts, you look at the statistics, we did get a reduction during the COVID, during 2020, when we were in lockdown or close to lockdown and all that. Unfortunately, we've kind of gone back to normal, even though some people are still Zooming in home and all that. We've gone back to just as bad as we were in 2019, if not a trifle worse. So we're putting 36.5 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every year. China's number one offender with 1/6 of the carbon emissions of the world coming from China, but we're number two, half of what China has. India number three, Russia and Japan are battling out for fourth and fifth. The country with the most CO2 per person, believe it or not, is a country called Qatar, a Arabic country next to Saudi Arabia. They, per person, that's the worst country, but the bottom line is we're not doing a good job at all. So until that happens, we're not going to start cooling things. We're just not. Now, let's talk a little further about it. One of the ways to do this, of course, we can try to drive less. We can try to bike more. But the electric car is probably one of the best ways, maybe, to really start the ball rolling. Well, right now, 6% of cars in the country are being driven or electric vehicle. And that's much better than it was 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And it's up to 18% in California. California is ahead of the game because there's so many cars and things like that. But We got a long way to go to start turning that curve back down so we can have less CO2 in the atmosphere. And the big problem is the cost of them have come down pretty affordable, some of the models, but the big problem is how quick you can charge the battery and how long you get, how long you can go on a battery. And most of the cars go maybe 250 miles on a charge, and then you have to, it takes over an hour to charge. You know, we have a gas car, you run into the gas station and you're out in 5 minutes. Unless you're in Jersey, it might be 10 minutes. That's because they do it yourself. It seems to take longer, but it's still 10 minutes or less, whereas most EVs, it takes an hour or many hours to charge. Now, there is some good news there. There are some technologies I read that they are starting to charge them much quicker. The problem is cost, and also that we're talking about very powerful, using a lot of electricity and a lot of a voltage, and of course it could be a fire risk, and those kind of charging can only be done in special places, and there's very few of them. But there is hope. There is hope that we can turn the corner, maybe, but we better do it fast, because we are still not, we're not dropping our CO2 emissions. The goal is to get half, to get us down to 50% of what we do at the peak, which is now, to 2030. That's only 7 years away. I don't think it's happening. I really don't. And then in 2050, we're supposed to go to zero carbon emissions. Good luck on that. So we got a long way to go, folks.
Yeah, especially when you consider, Hugh Johnson, there's no bigger joke and more comedic and sad joke than the 118th Congress, who can't even get their own act together, let alone do a darn thing to help with climate change, which it seems like they don't even want to touch with a 200-foot pole, let alone a 10-foot pole. I wonder about this too, Hugh, because I remember, you know, growing up in the 90s, and I would hear something on the game shows, you know, like The Price is Right specifically, where they're giving away cars and they say specifically, they mention California emission. How come California has always kind of been ahead of the curve on the emission stuff?
Well, because, I mean, if you look at the smog situation, L.A. was the last city and still has the smog issues. It's not as bad as it used to be, but, I mean, there are just so many cars in California. They don't have mass transit. They have very little mass transit in L.A., and I think San Francisco is a little bit more, but, I mean, and L.A. is just huge. It's the second largest city with at least 5 million people, and so they had to. They didn't have a choice. I mean, Ventura Highway, and you hear about the highways around L.A., how horribly gridlocked. I mean, I lived in D.C., and that was bad enough, but I think L.A. is even worse. So they had no choice. They had to do that. That's, you know, it's basically sink or swim type thing. So they got on board with this stuff quicker than most other places where, you know, here in Albany, we still don't have the traffic problems. I mean, we do get a little bit, but come on, compared to other places, it's a walk in the park. So we don't have to, you know, people don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't have to. In California, they pretty much have to.
So we've been talking about cars, and you've made given me a lot of new information. But what's the relative role of cars versus like corporations and private jets and also buildings? Our first segment was about the push for all electric buildings. How would you sort of rank those in terms of what creates the most problem?
Well, I think cars is at least number two. They're you know, industrial, you know, gas and oil, or coal is still a number one, but cars are certainly up there. Again, getting EV, you know, getting us up to 100% EV is not going to, it's not going to end CO2 emissions. It's going to drop it to zero. But I didn't run an analysis, but it would probably cut it back considerably. If we were all to have EVs, I would say we could probably go to at least 50% down. But yeah, you have buildings, you have factories, you have planes, and they're all, and planes will never, I don't think we'll see electric planes in our lifetime. That's not happening, but we can see electric cars. I mean, it's something that I think we have a shot at possibly doing, at least getting to electric cars. And I really, really hope we can do that. But we have this Congress in there now, the House went to the other party. I don't want to get political, but you know, it's a different philosophy. Not that, I mean, a lot of Republicans are on board now with climate change, but the main theme and the people that are in top are trying to keep a lid on it. But anyways, it's complicated. There's a lot of other aspects that have to be accomplished before we can really turn the corner. But I think if we can get a lot more sales of EV, we will start the progress. We really will. But it's going to take time, and we got to get that technology of charging them faster up to speed. And hopefully we can do that in the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, Hugh, you're not being political, because let's be honest, the weather has been more predictable than this Congress in terms of what they're going to be able to do. Because it is frankly disorganized dysfunction is the best way to put it. Now, let's talk a little bit about chaos, since we mentioned the 118th Congress. Let's tie it back to weather, as only somewhat adequate radio personality like myself can do, and say what's in the forecast, including, a little bit more weather.
Yeah. Well, we've been in a very active, as they discussed early in the show, pattern here. We've had storm after storm. It's just been a really hiked up jet stream and storm track, and California is getting a break now. The river flow has the jet stream has changed. They're not getting slammed with the atmospheric river, but we're going to get these storms are now starting to hit down in the southwest and hit up to Washington. We got another one coming on Wednesday, and what's going to happen is it's going to come in the afternoon. It could come in for the rush hour. It could be a really dicey rush hour with snow rates of an inch an hour during rush hour. This one, though, unlike the other one, this one had a perfect track, and we still had a very wet, heavy snow. But this next one's going to actually track further west, secondary development, but still the main primary stays west. So we're going to get a changeover to a wintry mix or possibly just rain later on the night. But we're going to get several inches or more of wet, heavy snow before that happens again. So, and that's going to happen right through rush hour. So watch out for that Wednesday. Tomorrow's quiet, just a few snow showers, clouds, and temperatures in the mid-upper 30s with a bit of wind. And then the storm Wednesday night should be out of here by Thursday. It looks like we'll get what we call a dry slot working in, and that should shut it down or at least bring it to a minimal amount. So I think most of the damage will be Wednesday evening. And then after that, things will quiet down a little bit, it looks like. And there's some really cold air perched in the north and west, but it's going to have a hard time getting in. But we'll stay kind of in chilly, cloudy, and gray with a few smaller storms to deal with through the weekend and early next week.
Wonderful.
Chilly, cloudy, and gray. Who would think it? So we're back to life as normal for this month.
Go ahead, Hugh. Yeah.
Okay. So I was just going to say one more thing. We've been above normal since December 28th, every single day, including the snowstorm today. If you take our average high and low, we've been above normal every day since December 28th. So it's almost 25 days in a row now.
Okay. And I've been reminded when we were talking about electric cars that the Sanctuary for Independent Media does have a charger for electric cars on a small parking lot near Freedom Square. So we're trying to do our bit as much as we can.
Yeah, a lot of rest stops are having them now. Yep. And even like the bike trail, Pearl Street, I think there's one now. So there are more and more popping up, and that's great news.
Absolutely. Okay, we are flat out of time, Hugh Johnson. We will catch up with you here in of a few weeks. Have a great couple of weeks here, and we'll catch up with you at some point next month.
All right. I'm going to find some sunshine. That's where I'm going.
Good for you. Good.
Bring it back with you.
Okay. I'll do my best.
This is Liv Kara's Stuyvesant. Thank you.
Skip rocks on the river as the tide is coming high. And we climb on the tower to watch the trains roll by. Days turn into nights here, and nights they pin you down. So set the woods on fire and drink till the moon goes down. For the trees are ripe with flowers and the grass is fresh and new. Oh, I never go scientific, not for you. Keep on.